All right, so I guess I'm just recording like this now.
Look, you look like an evil genius who's like trying to take over the world.
I am the commander.
This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to the Pod.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast where we talk about the reigning, defending, undisputed Stanley Cup champions of the world, the Washington Capitals. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, Satchel, and wherever else podcasts are available. Well, it has been a snow day here in Maryland. Everything's been closed, so it's been some fun time watching some old Caps clips. A lot of fun following up on Twitter, seeing what is going on in Caps world, because it is getting close to the trade deadline. The Caps are going a little crazy right now, and we're here to talk all about it. So, Coach Dan, how you doing? What's up, man?
Good, good. I actually ended up getting, I know I was texting you about this, but Verizon was able to come out yesterday and get us hooked up in the new house with internet and cable and all that fun stuff. Though there's a weird thing, the DVR box cannot be in the room that we want it to be in for some reason. I haven't tested it myself to see if I can switch it, but the technician that came out yesterday said it won't work. So that's weird.
That is very weird.
Yeah, I have to look into that. But
with the amount of cord cutters that are out there, you think Comcast or Xfinity or Verizon or whatever would be like, where do you want this? Absolutely, we can put it there. Yeah, you know, everything you can do to help.
I'm confused. Like, it wouldn't work being plugged into the wire that we had, that was the prior homeowners had. So I don't know what the deal is, but I'm gonna find out. Probably not tonight, because things are gonna start, or if they're not already, start recording soon.
Well, a lot of confusion today on your part, a lot of confusion today with the Capitals organization, some craziness going on. It looked like at the beginning of the day that Dmitry Yastin was being waived, and it looked like a trade move was going to happen. He wasn't at practice. Then, out of nowhere, mid-practice, Devontae Smith-Pelly is taken off the ice, and now it looks like he is going on waivers. And there's a trade that could be made once Devontae passes through waivers. So, Coach Dan, catch us all up, man. What is going on today in Caps world? This is kind of nutty.
Well, you actually broke in the news about Yastin being on waivers to me. Not everybody, just to me, but I appreciate it. You sent me that text, and I was like, okay.
You like, know, I did have a lot of that. Ice time. Kind of made sense.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't overly surprised when you sent it to me. I was like, okay, I guess that kind of makes sense. I mean, he's played something like, I had it up before earlier today, but he's played his, you know, 36 games, I think it was. Hang on, I'm bringing up the stats now. But he hasn't played a ton of games overall compared to some of the other players. And then if he wasn't producing as much, he's only got 8 points on the season. So it wasn't like something where you're like, well, how could they get rid of him? So my original thought was, well, they're going to move him on because they want to bring up one of the young guys, like maybe Riley Barber, who's been tearing it up. Maybe they're a little bit more concerned about TJ Oshie, even though he got injured in the game that lost to Anaheim, but he did come back and play in the win over LA. So it's not overly concerned. Yastin's played 36 games. So you texted that to me and I was like, okay, you know, that's it. You know, I like the guy being on the team, but I don't think it's the end of the world. He's not like a guy that if they lose, that they're in any sort of real big trouble. But then you sent me, and I think it was in all caps, Smith-Pelly on waivers or not Yastin or something. And I was like, wait, what?
Right.
So then I went and I looked at the numbers and I was like, okay, so Yashkin's cap is 1.1 million. Smith-Pelly is 1 million. So that doesn't really make a difference. But when you look at their numbers, Smith-Pelly's played 54 games, but he's only got 8 points. Yashkin's played 36 games. He's got 8 points. So if you're looking at it in terms of like one of these guys needs to go for whatever reason, we'll get to that in a minute. You have to look at Smith-Pelly and go, well, he's not producing as much as the other guy. in a points per game mentality. So maybe he's the guy, if you need to move someone out, he's the guy you're going to move out.
Does it seem like, I mean, he has to pass through waivers. Does it's not as if.
I have to imagine he's going to get a claim.
Yeah, but it's not like he's going to another team. It's not like it's a trade for a trade. They're making cap space at this moment, right?
Yes, this move is in. They're not putting it to help Hershey, who's on a heck of a run. We'll talk about that when we go down the farm. But I have to imagine this move is to free up cap space. And everybody, it wasn't just like us. It was everybody on Twitter was like, so they're making a trade? So they're bringing somebody in? Marcus Johans? So everyone pretty much agrees that a trade is going to go down. I think it was... not Elliot Friedman. I think it was Bob McKenzie. Let me see if I can find the tweet real quick. He had put out a tweet earlier that was retweeted by Isabel Kershudian of the Washington Post about... Where is it? Let me see if I can find it. Hold on. All right, so he's saying with the waiver maneuver Washington did today, first saying Yashkin would be on waivers and then switching up by putting Smith-Pelly. So it sounds like the Caps were going to put Yashkin on waivers and then change their mind, which is a little weird. Not the end of the world, but definitely a little strange. And I wonder how often that happens with teams, but it doesn't get actually like found out. There's a lot of... it's pretty clear they have something in the works, but until Smith-Pelly clears or gets claimed at noon tomorrow, that being Thursday, said trade can't be completed because the Caps don't have any cap space. There's a lot of speculation the deal may be with the Kings, maybe for a veteran depth forward. Lots of possibilities. Carl Hagelin is an unrestricted free agent at the end of the season, but carries a $3.5 million cap hit. Trevor Lewis and Kyle Clifford each have a year left after this season. Lewis at $2 million and Clifford at $1.6 million. He goes on to say there is a lot of speculation the deal may be with the Kings, maybe for veteran depth and forwards. Lots of possibilities. Carl Hagelin's an unrestricted at the end of the season, but he carries the $3.5 million cap hit. Trevor Lewis and Kyle Clifford each have a year left on their deal. Lewis at $2 million, Clifford at $1.6 million. He basically says it's all highly speculative at this point. Nothing's firm. No idea what will go the other way, what a potential deal may or may not include. But basically, he says the bottom line is that it seems Washington's interest in upgrading its depth, moving DSP out, and an upgrade of some description in. So I think they're definitely going to make a move, and it's more likely than not it'll be announced tomorrow, tomorrow being Thursday. But that's all we know at this point.
And there have been rumors that, you know, Marcus Johansson was in the mix, potentially him coming back. So, I mean, some signs point to the Kings, some signs point to the Devils.
Some guy just pointed out the Caps are clearing cap space to sign Bryce Harper. I thought that was pretty funny.
Hey, you never know.
Well played. Okay. Hold on. Sorry, I just saw this. At SamB999 on Twitter.
This sounds legit.
He's retweeted. Shut up. He tagged Ed Frankovic. He's up there in Baltimore.
WNST.
He says Elliot Friedman just said he expects Carl Hagelin to be traded to Washington for Yashkin and possibly a third rounder tomorrow. Okay, so that would explain if this is why Yashkin was pulled off of waivers. So it's potentially the Caps were going to put Yashkin on waivers, and then we're like, wait a minute, LA wants him? Okay, bring him back. We'll put DSP because we need to free up the cap space, and then we'll trade Yashkin and a third rounder for Hagelin. So that actually frees up $2.1 million, although the cap space is not actually whatever their cap hit was because it's how many games they have left in the rest of the season. So if Carl Hagelin has a $3.5 million cap hit, it's not the Caps will take all of that on. They take on whatever's left for the remainder of the season. And I'm not doing that math because it'll hurt my head. But if you move out Yashkin and Smith-Pelly, that's $2.1 million if you go to the beginning of the season that you freed up. So it actually could work pretty well. Hagelin, as you remember, played pretty well. He's played really well over his career, but he played pretty well with the Penguins recently. So that would be an interesting trade. And I would imagine that is – I mean, that's a bottom six move, but a guy who could potentially move into the top six should they need. I'm going to look up his stats while you say something smarter than what I just said.
Well, from 2 weeks ago when we did our semi-live show, in-person show, we were talking about the bottom
six. How is it semi-live, dude? I guess semi-live because it's recorded.
Yeah, it's live for us.
I was like, we weren't joking. I was literally there.
Recorded as live. Let's say that. That's what we say in the industry. Recorded as live.
There you go.
But we were talking about how the bottom six was an issue, is that that they had to go out there and find somebody because that bottom six just flat out was not cutting it. And we've seen that in the last months. I want to say January, February, is that you have Ovechkin, you know, doing a hat trick, scoring a hat trick, the Caps scoring 6 points, and still not being able to win games. So obviously something had to be, you know, done to this bottom six to make this stronger if they want to go on a cup run, if they want to go back to back. And they're thinking Carl Hagelin's the answer.
Well, that's interesting because I looked up his stats, and this season in 38 games, he has 8 points. He has almost literally the same stats as Yashkin in terms of points in two more games played. That's weird. He's 30. He'll be 31 this summer. This is an interesting trade. And maybe they just feel like he might be a better fit. They might feel like he can do more.
He's older. He's got more experience, maybe.
Yeah, I guess. But I don't know. I'm a little hesitant on this move right now. Becca H. from Japer's Rink is not pleased. She just tweeted out on Twitter, ugh, with a lot of G's and H's.
Interesting.
Oh, I you know what? I don't know. This is an interesting one, to say the least.
I mean, do you feel as if this is another Martin Erat type of situation?
No. Because they're not getting rid of someone that's going to be a future star in the league. No offense to Dmitry Yashkin or Smith Pelly. But that's just not – I don't think that's – no. I think this is more like – I don't think this goes so far as, say, like Shattenkirk, where it just doesn't work. Because, again, Hagelin, I don't think right now it looks like a guy that's going to come in and – I think they're just trying to go with someone who might be able to reproduce. Keep in mind, this is an L.A. team. Oh, God. I just knocked the mic thing, whatever it's called. What's the screen thing again?
Pop filter.
Yeah, the pop filter. I totally just almost knocked it over. Brandon, I gotta get a better setup over here. You know, he could come in and light it up as a bottom six player. So maybe they're just looking at getting an upgrade in their bottom six. But statistically this season, it doesn't look like that's going to make much of a difference.
Now, who was the guy that that came over? Was it Mike Richards? Didn't he come from the Kings? He had his issues off.
LA is last in the West. So maybe that's part of why Hagelin is struggling.
He's like, yeah, I'm ready to go. I don't know. This kind of feels like a doesn't feel like you're making the team better type of move. It seems like it's a lateral move, if anything. I mean, yes, there's experience.
Yeah, yes and no. I mean, the thing is, like, you're moving out Yashkin, who you picked up in on waivers. So it's not necessarily like you gave up a ton to acquire him. So if this move doesn't work, it's not like Yashkin was lighting it up. So, you know, I think it's a like for like in a way. And if it doesn't work, he's a free agent at the end of the season, so they're not tied down to him in any way, shape, or form. And it could be – let's see what his playoff stats are career-wise. Let's see if I can find that real quick. He could be a guy that steps up like Smith Pelly did last year in the playoffs.
He knows the Capitals system because he's gone through the Capitals how many times in the playoffs? He's been with the Rangers. He's been with the Penguins. He knows how the Capitals play, and he knows about postseason hockey, which Yaskin doesn't really know a lot about. But, Devontae Smith Pelly, he did phenomenal in the postseason last year, but just has struggled throughout the regular season. So, that postseason performance might, never mind that fact, because he's going through waivers. He's not being traded. I was going to say that could appeal to somebody else, but.
Oh, I think Smith Pelly definitely gets picked up on waivers. I mean, there were multiple teams that wanted his services in the off season, he took less to come back to DC. So
quite a way to thank him.
Well, it's the reality of sport. It's sure. What have you done for me lately? And unfortunately, he hasn't done much for them lately. So it kind of makes sense that they're moving him out. And I think Hagelin is an upgrade over Smith Pelly, at least in the regular season. If you go into his playoff stats, he's had one season with the Rangers where he scored 12 points in 25 games, and one season with the Penguins, that was back in 2015, 2016, where he got 16 points in 24 games. So he's not, you know, he had two in 15 playoff games for the Penguins 2 years ago. He got 2 points. Last year was 3-9. So it's not like he's coming in with all this playoff experience in terms of goal scoring, but he does have it in terms of just being there. But then again, Smith-Pelly does too. So I, you know, this is one of those that this is the trade they make, and it very well could not be. But if this is the trade they make, you know, it's going to have, it's one of those things you look at and you go, this could not work. I don't necessarily think that it will break the team in any way, shape, or form. Though I imagine losing Smith-Pelly, players are probably, you know, a little unhappy about that. But I think they also understand it's a business. But it's an odd one. You know, I can understand maybe it's an upgrade in the bottom six, and if that works out, great. But I we were talking, I think, before the show. I don't know if they're done at this point.
I don't think they're done either. And before we go on and talk about that, there's one more thing I do want to bring up. And this is kind of silly because all these guys are professionals. You know, we can dramatize it as much as we want, make it into a movie. But with a guy like Hagelin, who has played so many games against the Capitals, is it weird for him to come in and actually, you know, be on the same team as a guy who's vilified in Pittsburgh like Tom Wilson? Like, I know these guys are professionals and they go and they play hockey and, you know, what happens on the ice stays on the ice and there's, you know, not personal grudges or whatever. But is it going to be odd when he comes into that locker room for the first time and he sees Tom Wilson there and he has to share a locker room with him, knowing kind of the history between the two teams?
Yeah, there's probably a little bit that's awkward there. I don't think it's necessarily the end of the world. Like, I don't think it's one of those things where, like, when Edmonton brought in the dude that broke Connor McDavid a few years ago.
Right.
So it's not quite that level of awkwardness, but I'm sure, you know, there's got to be a little bit, but then he knows he's coming from a team that's bottom in the West to a team that's making a push for the playoffs. So,
yeah,
I mean, I don't think he's going to be too bent out of shape about it.
Right. It's not like it's not like the actual Mighty Ducks movie. You know, where, yeah. What was the kid's name? Was it Banks?
Came yeah, to play yeah. For the oh, Ducks. God. What was his first name?
Oh, man. I
can't even remember.
There's Somebody's so there's yeah, yes, there's so many
people. Somebody's listening is like, how do you not know his name?
Cody? It's not Cody, right? No, that was a movie. Agent Cody Banks. I know that one.
That's weird.
yeah, we'll figure that part out. Somebody will yell at us and tweet us and let us know. But anyway, so let's talk more about the trades here. The trade deadline is Monday, the 25th. So the Caps are getting busy, making some trades. And the way that Todd Reirden explained it, this isn't going to be the only trade the Capitals make. They are very active, it seems, out there on the market. So what do you think is next for this team? I mean, it might come Monday, right at the trade deadline, but what do you think the Caps are looking for? What do you think they're going to give up?
I think they might be – maybe they're looking for a depth defenseman. There was something I read – was it a Russian Machine or somewhere they were talking about how they're looking for another Michael Kempney. They want to send out, you know, a third, fourth, fifth-round pick and bring in a guy that's not working somewhere else. Maybe that's the Hagelin move, who then comes in and actually turns out to be pretty freaking good for the Caps. So I think, you know, I think they could make at least two moves before the deadline passes and bring in a couple of guys that might be able to give them an extra little bit of a push. They did last year with Kempney and Jakub Jurebek. Jurebek didn't really work out, but Kempney worked out pretty well, and so I think they're going to try that again. I feel like, though, every team is probably trying to do that, where you don't give up a lot for someone and they do really great. But it seems like McClellan's been able to pull those moves off pretty well in terms of bringing in Kempney last year and Lars Eller and the Oshie trade, giving up, was it Brouwer and Phoenix Copley? Mm-hmm. So, wasn't the other kid part of that deal, too? There was another kid that was playing on the Caps, so they're like, maybe that was a different trade with St. Louis, but there's someone else I remember being a part of that trade. But I lost track of what I was trying to say. Oh yes. Basically, you know, they want to go out and spend a mid round pick and be able to bring in someone that maybe isn't working somewhere else, working out very well, but that could come into Washington, just like Kempney was doing in Chicago, and tear it up. And maybe that is Carl Hagelin. Maybe he comes in and turns out to be that third line winger that this team really could use. And he gets a really great thing going with him and Eller and either Connolly or Burakovsky, who I saw earlier, Isabel Kurshudin was saying that she thinks the Caps are less likely to move him now.
Really? I mean, that's all we talked about for like the entire season so far.
Sam B is talking about the Penguins going to claim DSP.
Oh, really?
I don't know why, if there's any actual like talk about this, or if they just think it's going to happen because it might happen. I'm a little confused as to where this is coming from.
Interesting. It's a wild time. The end of February is a wild time to be a hockey fan, just because there's so much going on.
Yeah, I mean, after I wrote my notes earlier today, there was another trade, and I had to go back and rewrite a couple things. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. But it sounds like at some point tomorrow afternoon, my guess is they will make an announcement. Tomorrow being Thursday.
Right. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. You know, again, this might just be the business side of hockey, but I feel it really weird that the way that this trade happened with Yaskin being said, don't come to practice.
Well, it hasn't happened yet.
Right. I know, but the way it's been handled so far with Devontae Smith-Pelly being pulled mid-practice, it's almost as if like the insane asylum is being run by the inmates almost. Like, it seems as if like the organization of the team and the front office has kind of gone out of whack this year. I mean, we've seen some very undisciplined hockey on the ice. Is it because that's the way it's being run, you know, in the front office off the ice? What do you think about that? Do you think that that's just the sport? It is what it is. Or do you think that these guys are, you know, are running, you know, by the seat of their pants, and they don't have any like long-term plans? They're just kind of taking it day by day.
No, I mean, I think there's a plan, and you're always kind of adjusting that plan as the season goes along based on injuries, based on how things are going, if certain players are working out, if certain guys are not. Ooh, I hit the thing again. I really got to get a new setup in here, dude. It's going crazy. So it really it varies. You know, I think you have – it's kind of like when you and I would know this, writing a script, and like you have a beginning and you have an end. But at some point along the lines, the end may change because – you know, things are changing in how you want the script to go and come with new ideas. And maybe that could be part of the thing for, I think, in professional sports, that a player could, like if Oshie, when he got hurt in Anaheim, if it turned out to be a season ending injury, that completely changes what they may be doing going into the trade deadline. So I think they have to adapt. And I think when this opportunity came along, you know, it could have been that maybe they had this idea for a trade all along, and they knew Yashkin was going to be a part of it, and they were like, don't come to practice. And everyone kind of assumed he was on waivers. And the Caps, maybe someone was crunching the numbers, was like, oh, crap. Okay, we need to get rid of one more guy to be able to make the Cap situation work. And they're like, all right, well, then it's got to be Smith-Pelly, because at that point he's not producing the way you want him to. So we don't really know what's going on behind the scenes. It does look a little weird and a little unorganized. But this Caps team is not necessarily not a bad team. Like, they're still in the playoffs. So I'm not overly concerned at the moment not overly concerned about anything that's happened today. But we'll see what happens tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow it's definitely going to be a wild one. And hopefully we are getting you guys ready for that. If it is Hagelin, you know, I'm interested to see what he brings to the table, but I'm not really encouraged by those 8 points that you spoke about. So maybe it will be good, a change of scenery, things will be better. Maybe he'll like it more on the East Coast because that's what he was accustomed to before. So, I mean, anything could happen. And I'm also very intrigued to see what else the Caps do before that trade deadline that happens on Monday. I agree with you. I do think they could go for another defenseman. Braden Holtby and Phoenix Copley have been completely left out to dry on a couple games with zero support. So I think any kind of change up would be really nice for that. So I definitely see a defenseman coming the Caps' way. It's just, what will the Caps lose in order to get that defenseman on this team? I don't know. I don't think it's going to be a defenseman for a defenseman, but we'll see what happens. And there's a lot of talent down in Hershey right now. You know, is there a chance that somebody needs a goalie? And, you know, could Copley or Samsonov be the guys that pique some interest? I don't know. So be very interesting to see what happens. Brian McClellan isn't shy about spending big money, and he enjoys doing it. He's very different than George McPhee, who liked to bargain. He liked to take chances on.
He liked to not tell anybody anything.
He liked to not tell anybody. But I mean, his big thing, if you remember, during that horrible E-Rat Philip Forsberg trade, he was more excited about Michael Latta. You know, he's like, yeah, we got E-Rat, but also we got this young kid, Michael Latta. He's really special. He's this, he's that. So he likes the bargain players. He likes taking a shot. He likes to gamble. I guess it's good he's in Vegas. So two very different general managers, but we'll see what happens. So I don't know. I mean, we kind of gave your perspective on a defenseman or anything like that. Do you see somebody from Hershey maybe being picked up, or do you think it's going to be one of the major league guys?
In terms of...
if they do another trade.
Oh, being sent out?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure Riley Barber's stock has risen a bit, but it probably also makes the Caps be like, I think we'll keep an eye on this guy. And maybe they want to hang on to him. I think that if they move someone, it could be... Burakovsky is still an option, but like I said earlier, Isabel Kershuting was saying... I don't know how we say her full name. She was stating that it looks like the Caps may not move him, and I think his improved play recently is maybe making them rethink how much they may need another top six or top nine forward. So that'll be interesting in terms of what they decide to do before the deadline, whether something comes across. But I don't think that they'll overdo it. No, that's not the best way to put it. I don't think they will pull a Forsberg for E-Rat move again. I think they learned their lesson from that one and are going to be careful about the moves they make to make sure they're going to prove them now, and also not keeping an eye towards the future.
All right. Well, anything else we should cover in Caps world this week?
Well, aside from how they did over the last week since we talked.
That's right. We should talk about that California trip a little bit.
Yeah, they went to California, came home with a 2-1 record with wins over San Jose and LA, but they had an ugly loss to Anaheim. So it's pretty much where the Caps have been. They've had, you know, a couple of good games, an ugly game here and there. But the Anaheim one was pretty embarrassing.
It's kind of crazy because we were talking last week and we were talking about those three games and how San Jose, the Caps never performed very well there, and here they come 5-1, they win in San Jose, and then in LA they beat the Kings 3-2, and that was their first win since like 2005 in LA. So I mean, that's kind of crazy to think about. You're against like the worst team in the West, LA, and the Caps weren't expected to do well and they did. Up against San Jose, and they never do well, and they did. And then you're up against Anaheim, who technically doesn't even have a coach right now, or a full-time coach. And they kind of get, wipe the floor with them. So I thought going through the next three games out in California that Anaheim would be the only win. I figured it would be flip-flopped, and the other two games would be losses. But the Caps, if there's one thing about this Caps team this year, is that they're consistently inconsistent. And you can have a great game, and then the next game is just absolutely dumpster fire. So it's kind of crazy that they dropped that game in Anaheim. But overall, you look at it, you got to be kind of happy coming home, you know, out in the West Coast with two wins.
Yeah, I'll take it. When they won, and they won really well in San Jose, I was kind of like, ooh, they could take all three. But that wasn't the case. They had an ugly game in Anaheim and then came back and actually played really well against LA, even though they almost let them back into it. But I'll take it. You know, if you're going to go on these, especially a Canada road trip, you know, those don't always tend to go so well. So I'll take it. I got no problems with it. I mean, I got a problem with the Anaheim game, but I guess if you had to lose one of them, at least you won two. Is kind of the best way to put that, I suppose. And then the other thing to talk about, the Caps are actually donating a Stanley Cup ring to the Hockey Hall of Fame. I thought that was cool. A bit random. I also saw that they are giving out, I think, replica rings. They sent that to season ticket holders.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty sweet on eBay.
Yeah. I don't know about that one. I mean, it'll probably be on eBay a couple, but I don't think it'll be as many as you think.
All right.
You know what I haven't looked for in a while? I'm checking right now on eBay. Where's that Nathan Walker bobblehead that I wanted?
Wasn't it a snow globe?
Yeah, whatever.
Let's see. Washington Capitals Stanley Cup ring. Let's see.
I'm checking for the Nathan Walker thing right now.
There's a couple out
there. Not bad. 12, not, oh, but there's shipping of like $6. Screw it. I'm not paying that much.
These all look fake.
Well, they are replicas, dude.
No, these look like fake. Like not even close to being considered. Like, you're not fooling anybody with these. If you want to keep these in the box and just sit them out, then that's probably fine. But you're not doing anything better than that.
Elliot Freeman just, or I don't know when he posted, because Twitter is doing weird stuff now. No, he just tweeted it. In fact, my computer says it's 8:52, and he tweeted at 8:53. So he's tweeting from the future.
Amazing.
I think it is a possibility on Hagelin. They've been interested. Can't say for sure, though. So the Hagelin stuff certainly sounds like there's fire. At least smoke here. That's interesting. Interesting. I don't know. We'll know more tomorrow, which, of course, just like usual, we record and something happens big with the team the next freaking day.
Well, you know what? I think that the Caps got wind that we were planning to record in the middle of the day since it was a snow day here in Maryland. And they're like, oh, no, boys, you're going to have to wait your turn.
I think not.
We got business to attend to. We're going to delay you to your normal scheduled recording time so you can't get it done early. But again, we waited and we still know nothing.
You know, we should have just recorded earlier, and then like if it actually happened, we could just jump back in and be like, breaking news. We got a cool, like, fun sounds and everything. Ah, screw it. Let's go down to the farm.
All right. Well, that's it for Caps World. It really sucks. I gotta say, it really sucks to lose Devontae Smith-Pelly. Yes, he's not lighting the world up right now, but man, what a postseason he had.
Now it doesn't mean he's necessarily gone.
It's true.
He'll get claimed, but he may not get claimed, and the Caps could always. I think they can pull him back.
Man, what a draw for the Hershey Bears, though. Could you imagine that if he doesn't get claimed and he goes to the Hershey Bears, for the Hershey Bears to say, come see Stanley Cup champion Devontae Smith-Pelly at a game this week?
Well, like, couldn't they say that about
Nathan Walker and Gersick? Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if Devontae, like when he found out he was leaving, if they gave him the WWE title that was gifted to them.
Oh, they should.
He loved that, man. He wore that the entire celebration during the parade. I want one of those, but man, that's crazy. Just crazy. So Devontae, man, it's been fun. It's been a great ride. I mean, without him, the Caps may not be Stanley Cup champions. He had an absolutely fantastic, phenomenal, amazing Stanley Cup run with the team, and it's gonna suck to not see him there, but it is what it is, so we'll see you down the road. So that is pretty much it for what's going on in Caps World. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to go down on the farm. But before we do that, here's a word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the Puck? What the Puck? Is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
All right, everybody, here we go. We are going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what is going on down on the farm?
Well, in Hershey, the Bears made history with their 15-point streak, tying a 76-year-old franchise record, which is absurd when you actually see that number. They won their last three, one over Wilkes-Barre, Scranton, and two over Lehigh Valley, bringing them to third in the Atlantic Division with 61 points and a record of 29-20-3. They'll be back at it with three games over the weekend, starting on Friday in Wilkes-Barre, Scranton, Saturday at the Giant Center against Rockford, and then Sunday they'll be in Bridgeport. Hershey's tearing it up.
What do you think this difference is? I mean, is it Samsonov finally coming into his own? Because, you know, we talked about it throughout this entire season so far, and how they were last in the division or close to last. They looked like they were going to lay an egg for the entire season, but here they come. I mean, they're surging, and I mean, to be third in the division, that's a big jump. So what is it? Is it just the guys are just more comfortable at this point playing together?
Probably part of it. I think the goal, you know, I was going to say Varlamov, Samsonov, all of it ends with V's. It's confusing me, apparently, for some weird reason. I think that's part of it, having Samsonov getting more comfortable. I think since the start of 2019, they've been on some sort of like 20-2 run or something along those lines. Like, they've just been tearing it up.
That's wild.
Since the start of 2019. And hopefully they continue on that same run. I don't know what specifically it is, but whatever it is in Hershey, it's working. Let's go down to South Carolina, where the Stingrays are currently fourth in the South Division with a record of 25-22-5 after going 0-4 in the past week. That is not a very good week for the Stingrays.
No.
They'll be back at it with three games before we talk again, starting on Friday at the North Charleston Coliseum against Florida. And since Florida's in town, why not do it again at home against that same team? Followed up with a game on Tuesday at home against Greenville. That's what's going on down on the farm.
All right, well, Bears, do what you're doing. Stingrays, take a cue from the Bears.
Yeah, follow their lead.
Follow their lead, man. Come on. But go Bears, go Stingrays. Now let's go around the NHL. We are going around the NHL. Plenty of stuff. I mean, the Capitals aren't the only ones getting ready for this trade deadline to happen. The league is staying busy. They're unveiling jerseys. And we're going to talk all about different things going on. So, Coach Dan, what is going on around the NHL?
Who unveiled a jersey? I totally missed this.
Toronto.
What do they unveil?
Their St. Pat's jerseys.
Oh, I haven't seen that. Hold on.
Oh, you gotta look that up, dude.
Toronto. When do they do that?
That was today, I believe.
Hang on. I'm looking up the news for them. The special throwback uniforms this March. Oh, they're silly.
Oh, come on.
Nah, they're fine. I mean, the Toronto, I'm not a fan of Maple Leafs, but their jersey is just so, like, iconic. Now, you don't really need to mess with it. Into the news.
St. Paddy's is right around the corner.
Well, they used to be known as the Toronto St. Pat's, right?
Right.
So that's, yeah. So it's fine. It's a bit silly, but it's fine.
I'm for it.
Of course you are. Has there ever been a jersey you didn't like?
The USA ones are pretty bad right now.
Yeah. God, those are pretty awful.
They're pretty bad. I'm sure there's other ones out there. Anything from Pittsburgh.
Fair enough.
Oh, the one with the big penguin. It was the first Winter Classic jerseys that they were up against us, and they had that light blue streaks at the bottom. It looked like it was a swimming pool with lanes. I hated that jersey.
Interesting. And yet you have the Caps blue one.
Oh, I wish I was wearing it right now. I'm in my Dynamo Moscow jersey instead.
Anyways,
I'll wear that to work tomorrow.
I'm sure you will. But as we are getting ever so closer to the NHL trade deadline and teams are starting to make some more moves, like making ones after I wrote my freaking notes, also got teams clearing cap space as they look to make a run towards the playoffs or get ready for a busy offseason. Let's go ahead and start in Edmonton, where they sent goalie Cam Talbot to Philly for goalie Anthony Stolarz. Edmonton wasn't done there, as they also sent forward Ryan Spooner. That's the guy they acquired for back in November. He's also the one that injured Connor McDavid a couple years ago. They sent him to Vancouver for forward Sam Gagner. Chicago brought in forward Peter Holland from the Rangers for defenseman Darren Radish. He's got a funny last name. And I was talking about that move. This was after I wrote my notes. Minnesota sent forward Charlie Coyle to Boston for forward Ryan Donato and a 2019 fifth round pick. As we were recording, Brandon, I saw that Anaheim signed a forward, Jakob Silfverberg. He's got an F in the middle of his name, which doesn't sound like it should be there, to a five-year extension worth a reported cap hit of $5.25 million. So he got paid. Philly douchebag Radko Gudas has been suspended for two games for high-sticking Tampa's Nikita Kucherov. In some fun news, you see this, Mike Tirico. He's doing the play-by-play as we speak for tonight's game, the Chicago-Detroit game on NBCSN. This is the first time that he will be doing play-by-play for a hockey game.
Really?
I didn't realize he'd never done hockey before. Apparently, this is something he's always wanted to do. And now I need to go watch it a little bit and see how he does, because I like Mike Tirico. I thought he's done well. And finally, I don't know if you saw this, but this was pretty funny. New Jersey recently celebrated 90s night by bringing in actor Patrick Warburton in full David Putty get up to drop the ceremonial puck. They also gave out Putty bobbleheads to the first 9,000 fans that attended the game. He then greeted the players as they made their way out onto the ice. And I have to imagine for the younger players who've never seen Seinfeld, it had to have been pretty weird to have Joe from Family Guy yelling at you as you made your way out onto the ice. Like, that whole thing was just, I was like, because I watched the video of him yelling at the Devils players as they're coming out doing his whole David Putty thing. And if they didn't get it, but they're a fan of Family Guy, they definitely had to be like, why is Joe yelling at me? But that's the news from the past week in the NHL.
Crazy, crazy stuff. Yeah, there's got to be a lot of people that are just kind of confused and don't understand that reference, but.
Oh, I can't imagine.
Yeah, but I do want to put out there real quick, the rivalry series is over between the USA and Canadian women's hockey teams. Canada won the series, winning the last two games. USA won the opener. They were very excited about that because Canada has not beaten the USA women's team in a long, long time. Sorry, Ryan, to say that, but it's true. The U.S. team definitely did not show up in that third game. They were in Detroit. I don't know what was going on, but the third game of the three games, the third one was not the greatest. So the first two games, though, really great hockey to watch, especially that first game. I mean, it was 1-0 at the end. So if you got a chance to watch it, I'm so happy that the NHL aired those games, and they kept talking about the World's Tournament coming up for the women's hockey teams, and I can't wait to watch that. I'll definitely be tuning in to see that again. But you know what I was thinking? I tweeted this to USA Hockey and Hillary Knight. Why haven't we had a USA versus Canada women's hockey game in the nation's capital? Why has there not been a DC game? That kind of surprises me. I feel like you should have an exhibition game in DC at the Verizon Center. Verizon Center. Wow. Capital One Arena. But I don't know. Coach, would you go to that game? I know I would go to that game.
How much are we talking about paying here?
Stop being cheap. Just say,
hey,
you
man.
Go. Just say,
just
you
got
go.
A new house. Okay. I got a little one on the way. Got a lot to pay for.
Yeah. You got more to pay for than me, but I'd still go. You know what? I would. Well, no, I'm not treating you.
Next year's show. Thanks, man. Next year's show is just going to be me half asleep.
What? There was hockey?
They played well, I think. Actually, in a couple of years, if we're still doing this thing, it might be we'll bring him on the show.
I like it. I like it. A couple years ago, my goddaughter, she was on here for a couple quick seconds.
My dog's been on the show. She was just whining. I don't know if you remember that.
I do remember that. Yeah, I do, yeah.
She doesn't ever really, never barks, but boy, does she like to whine.
Sounds
that's
like
her go-to move.
Sounds like the dog I have now. That dude's a whiner. But anyway, so is that the show for this week?
I think. Let's wrap it up, man. I got to go make myself some dinner. It's already just after 9.
All right. Well, if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can.
That's true.
All you got to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash Coach Dan. Where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capitals related things, especially now that I have the internet back. We moved on Saturday and I had no Wi-Fi until Tuesday evening when I got home from work. So,
how did you turn any of your lights on or whatever?
You see, I have these things called fingers, and I flick a switch.
You see, my internet went out earlier today, and I couldn't turn any of my lights on or off because they're all connected to Alexa now. So
why don't you just flick a switch, man?
Then I'd have to get up and turn stuff.
I guess that is asking for a lot.
That's a lot of work.
That's true. So if you want to talk to Caps Hockey, you can talk about other things as well. I like to be on there talking about Arsenal Football Club, DC United. Their season's starting up pretty soon. We can talk about the Bills. Screw the Skins right now. I'm a disgruntled Skins fan. And other things that may pop into my head from time to time. Though it's really just about sports. But that's finding me on Twitter, at WTPCoach. And if you've enjoyed our rambling this evening, go ahead and check out our Facebook page at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. It's where we will post when new shows are coming out, new things about the Capitals. I'm sure we'll have some interesting stuff on there regarding Carl Hagelin or whoever it is that they're likely to be bringing in tomorrow. Watch them not make a trade for anyone tomorrow. I'll be like, dang it. Come on, guys. It's going to be fun. So that, yeah, go ahead and check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But Brandon, if people have enjoyed this show, where can they find out about other shows that you may be working on?
Hey, go to brandocash.com, get all the information you're ever going to need about What the Puck and all the other podcasts we do here at Brando Cash Entertainment. Like Coach Dan said, go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. Twitter as well, at whatthepuckpod. Follow us over there. Follow us, like us, do other things. Speaking of Facebook, I did want to bring this up. 6 years ago, I posted on my personal Facebook page, happy birthday to What the Puck podcast and Coach Dan. We have been talking puck for a year today. It's been a great year as we talked about the playoffs, the offseason, the lockout, and the struggles of this season. It's been fun. So I think 7 years ago on this date, the 20th, was the first time you and I talked puck. Maybe not in podcast form, but on our old college show.
Wait, I thought we started that in the... When did we start that? Maybe you're right. Was it around the trade deadline?
I think it was around February, because I had started at that job at our alma mater in late December. They were starting up a radio station. I brought the radio show I used to work on there. Those guys wussed out and said the drive was too long, so they stopped coming. So I did a show on my own, and it would have been around this time of year. So 7 years ago, I think What the Puck was
we were
born.
Texting during the day just about the Caps, and we were like, we should do a show or a segment on your show. And then I think like an hour later, we're like, wait, do we really want to do it? Okay.
I mean,
let's make it happen.
It made sense. It was our alma mater. It was, you know, we both went to school there.
I had a crappy little microphone.
I think I did as well, but I had 2 hours to program, so we were like, why not talk a little bit of hockey on there as well while we're playing some music? So
yeah,
What the Puck was born. It morphed into a podcast 220 some odd episodes later.
You had to teach me what a podcast is.
I had to teach you what Twitter was, if you remember.
No, I knew what Twitter was. I didn't know how to use it.
And you didn't want to be on Twitter.
I used to bookmark... No, because I had nothing. I didn't really have anything to say. I used to bookmark, like people. Oh God, I can't remember who it was at the time. That was the Caps beat reporter for the Post. But I used to have their like page bookmarked, their Twitter page, so I can go in and like refresh it to learn news and stuff. But I didn't have my own Twitter account or anything like that. And so I think it was the first show you were like, "Why don't you go out and tell people they can find you on Twitter?" And I was like, "You can't. I don't have one of those." And you're like, you gotta get one. All right, fine.
Yeah, so, I mean, 7 years ago, around this time, What the Puck was born. So, that's a long time to be talking about hockey, dude. 7 years, so.
Brandon, I'm gonna go out and buy a DSP shirt now. I feel like he's one that you can wear. Like Matt, sorry, I just saw Becca H. from Japer's Rink was just tweeting something nice about DSP. He's one of those guys, like a Matt Bradley, that I feel like you can wear. Sorry, I totally hijacked your nice segment about the show. Where, you know, you can wear something about his, like, Matt. You can wear their Caps gear after they've left, and it's not like anybody's going to be making fun of you. But sorry, back to what you were saying.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, the Stadium Series jersey, I have no one on the back because I'm a little...
Because that jersey's terrible.
Untrue. I don't want to taint it. That's what it is. I don't want to taint it with anyone's name because it's so majestic and beautiful on its own.
You've been drinking early today, huh?
But there's going to be some crazy moves coming up in the next year, too, especially with Seattle. So I'm a little worried. And again, oh, my God, this is like the third week in a row. We did not talk about Ovechkin and what's going to happen at the end of his contract, because that's something I tweeted about like 3 weeks ago. I'm like, we'll talk about it on the next What the Puck. But luckily, we've had a lot more to talk about than speculation of what's going to happen to
Ovechkin. Wait, they're going to sign to a new deal.
All right, I'll just put this out there for people that are listening. We're not discussing it now because we're at the end of the show. But my thinking was, I was rewatching Game 5 of him raising the Stanley Cup.
He still got 2 years.
Right. I know.
After this season.
But what I'm saying is, since he's already won a Stanley Cup, he's won Worlds.
He's not going to Russia.
He's going to want to win a gold medal. Would he take a year off from the NHL to go play in the Olympics, win a gold medal, and then hop back to the NHL? We've seen players do it before. You know, Kovalchuk is back in the league. But just something for us to talk about. Maybe we'll talk about that in the summer when things aren't in the season. But something I was thinking about, because he wants that Triple Crown win. He wants those awards. He had a lot of
fun.
He's
still not going to get it. Oh, you know what? Maybe he would, I guess, because the other guys won't be there. Yeah, right. Fair point. I don't think it's going to happen, but I could see why you're saying that.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in the summer, but something to think about. But anyway, so yes, so we've been talking about the show or about the Caps for 7 years. Kind of crazy to think about, but it's been fun. But if you want to talk about What the Puck on social media, you can. Would really help us out, because we've been doing this show for 7 years. We don't get paid to do this. We do this on our free time because we love to talk about the Capitals. So it'd be great if you guys could give us some free publicity, maybe write us an Apple Podcast review, and let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Vero and Twitch, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone or whatever. Say, I'm a What the Puck fan. I am a Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So that's pretty much it for the show this week. Let's go over the games until we talk again. On February 21st, the Capitals are in Toronto. Who knows who might be joining them via the trade? I don't think you're going to see them on the ice in Toronto. But that game is at 7 o'clock. You can watch that locally here on NBC Sports Washington as well as ESPN+. And then on Saturday, February 23rd, the Capitals are in Buffalo. You can watch that one at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Wow, okay. Didn't realize that. Good to know, because I got plans Saturday night. You can watch that on NBC Sports Washington, and you can also watch that on the NHL Network. And it's a back-to-back night. The Capitals are back home, but on Sunday, they're going to be up against the New York Rangers.
Wait a minute. I have a question.
Yeah.
Who's the bottom six in Toronto if the trade goes through?
I don't know.
Connelly, Burakovsky, Eller.
Dowd, Boyd.
Am I forgetting about someone?
And Chandler Stephenson.
Thank you.
Yes. Well, you always got to forget about him.
No, it's not him. I was just couldn't do the lineup in my head real fast while you were talking. I was like, who the hell am I forgetting?
Have you seen the commercial of Chandler Stephenson's mom? It's like a car commercial for hockey moms.
Yeah.
That's the most Canadian commercial I think I've ever seen in my life. She's got
anytime you get someone who's not an actor in a commercial, it's bad.
She's got such a thick Canadian accent. Like, I just want to hear her talk forever. It's such a good accent. I love it. And I'm like, oh, this is awesome. Good on you, Chandler Stephenson's mom. But anyway, so Sunday, February 24th, the Capitals are at home in D.C. up against the Rangers. That game is at 12:30 in the afternoon. Yeah, thank you for not scheduling that during The Walking Dead. That game is on NBC Sports Washington locally, as well as the NHL channel. NHL channel, yeah. And then on Tuesday, February 26th, the Capitals stay in at home up against Ottawa. up against the Senators, and you can watch that on NBC Sports Washington. So four games until we talk again. That is a lot of hockey, and on the off day, the 25th, is the trade deadline. So maybe your last chance to see certain players in that Caps red. We will see. So that's pretty much it for the show this week. Thank you all for listening tonight. Thank you for whomever may have listened to us in the past 7 years. Pretty awesome to have such a long tenure. That's longer than most sitcoms or TV shows last nowadays. So kind of crazy to think about. But if the only people are going to cancel us is us, so what are you going to do? So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. What's up, babes?
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.